Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
We are continuing even as we are concluding. We have come to the concluding two verses of the book of Malachi, and so we are certainly getting very close to the end of our examination of this wonderful and very applicable book, the last book in the Old Testament scriptures. But coming to the last two verses, we have come to a very interesting and challenging text, and that's the one we're looking at now, where the prophet Malachi, speaking for God, says that God will send Elijah, the prophet, before the great and terrible day of the Lord. And the question is, how is that prophecy to be understood? In what way is that prophecy to be fulfilled? And we started down that path a couple of broadcasts ago, and we are going to continue it on the broadcast today, because I think there is more involved than simply trying to figure out the exact meaning of this text. But it also helps us to understand how the New Testament handles many of the Old Testament prophecies. And that is a very important subject all in itself. It's a very important precept, very important concept, I guess I should say, all in itself, that will help us in our study of God's Word. So, with that in mind, I welcome you to this Monday, April 13, Beacon Broadcast. I remind you that we are dependent upon you, our radio listeners, in order to be able to continue this ministry on this station. Thank you for your consideration. The last two verses of the book of Malachi, chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse." On the surface, if you had nothing else in the Bible to speak regarding this text, you would probably come to the conclusion that God intended to raise Elijah the Tishbite from the dead before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. That's the way most people understand the prophecy when they see it in the book of Malachi, and that is still the way that many people understand the prophecy in spite of several New Testament texts that point us in a different direction. Now, I'm not going to go back over the text. I'm just simply going to remind you of them before we go on to a couple of others. But we looked first at Luke chapter 1, verses 15 through 17, where the angel Gabriel told Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist, that his son would come in the spirit and power of Elijah, and that he would accomplish what Malachi prophesied that this coming of Elijah would do, turning the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers. The angel said, "Your son, Zacharias, your son John, is the one who's going to fulfill this prophecy." And, of course, John is not Elijah the Tishbite. John is another prophet. John is a prophet who, according to the words of the angel, is coming in the power and spirit of Elijah. But he will accomplish what Malachi said Elijah the prophet would accomplish when he comes. So the conclusion I draw from that text is that the prophecy in Malachi is not a prophecy of the resurrection of Elijah the Tishbite. It is the prophecy of an Elijah-like prophet who will come with similar power and will accomplish what Malachi chapter 4 says this coming will accomplish, And the New Testament tells us that this one is John. He is the prophet that comes in the spirit and power of Elijah. He is the Elijah of Malachi. He is not Elijah the Tishbite. He is Elijah the Elijah of Malachi. In other words, when Malachi said Elijah, he meant an Elijah-like prophet, someone who will come in the spirit and power of Elijah. That's the way I take it. I don't really know how else to take it in the light of Luke chapter 1, and then we looked at Matthew chapter 11. In Matthew chapter 11, you have that section where John was in prison, John the Baptist, and he sent some of his disciples to Jesus to say, "Now, are you in fact the Christ, or do we look for another?" He was, I guess, having some questions and doubts. He was certainly shaken. And so Jesus told the disciples of John to go back and tell them that he was, in fact, the prophesied Christ. That John had not been wrong when he had identified Jesus as the Christ. Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. John had not been wrong. Yes, he landed in prison. And yes, he's eventually going, not too much longer, he's going to forfeit his life for his faithfulness to God. But that doesn't mean that his ministry was in vain, or that there was anything wrong with it, or that it just pleased God in any way. He did exactly what God sent him to do. He was the forerunner of the Messiah. Jesus the Christ, Jesus the Messiah. He was the forerunner. He came in the spirit of the power of Elijah, and he prepared the way. He prepared the way for the coming of Christ by bringing something of a revival to the land of Israel, and that involved, among other things, families becoming strengthened, families getting things sorted out, families enjoying spiritual revival. The hearts of the fathers turned to their children and the children to their fathers, and John had accomplished that by his ministry. And Jesus makes reference to that in Matthew chapter 11, and then he turns to the multitudes and he talks a little bit about John. And he says in Matthew chapter 11 that John is the Elijah prophesied by Malachi. Go back and read it for yourself. You can hardly miss the very straightforward meaning of those words in verses 12 through 14. And then we looked at Matthew chapter 17, which is an account of the Transfiguration. And there the disciples raised the question, why do the Pharisees, or why do the scribes, why do the religious leaders say that Elijah must come first? They had realized from the Transfiguration that Jesus is in fact the Christ. If they'd had any doubts about it before, they had no doubts now. Clearly, 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 he is the Christ. Clearly, 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 he is God incarnate. The Transfiguration demonstrated all of that to them, but there's this one little thing. The religious teachers taught that before the Messiah comes, Elijah must come, because they were, of course, basing it on these words in Malachi. And Jesus said, yes, that's right. They are right to say that Elijah must come first, but Elijah has come. And they did to him whatever they pleased. In other words, by that time he was dead. John the Baptist was dead. And they're going to do something similar to the Christ, the forerunner of Christ. They put him to death. They didn't like him. And the Christ himself they're going to put to death, and they don't like him either. But John is the Elijah of Malachi's prophecy. That's what Matthew 17 says. Now, I could have also turned to Mark, but I didn't. He has virtually the same statement in Mark in his account of the Transfiguration that you have in Matthew, but since it is simply a synoptic account of the same event, I didn't go to that one. But if you count those four references, Luke 1, Matthew 11, Matthew 17, and the one in Mark, I forget what chapter that's in, you've got four very straightforward and clear statements that John the Baptist is Elijah. So, it would appear, therefore, that the prophecy of Malachi has to be taken in something less than the most literal way possible. The fulfillment of that prophecy is not that the literal Elijah the Tishbite will come, which would require a resurrection, but it is, in fact, that an Elijah-like prophet will come, another prophet like Elijah. And that turns out to be John the Baptist. Now, the one fly in the ointment, so to speak, in this whole examination of New Testament texts is the statement by John himself in the Gospel of John. And we read in John chapter 1, verse 19, "Now this is the testimony of John, when the Jews and priests and when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, 'Who are you?' He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, 'I am not the Christ.' And they asked him, 'What then? Are you Elijah?'" Oh, there's the question that we're pursuing. "Are you Elijah?" And he said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you, that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself?" And he said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." So here we have this interesting statement by John the Baptist himself that he is not Elijah. He is the prophet that Isaiah foretold, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, but he does not claim to be the prophet that Malachi foretold. How do we reconcile John's statement with the statements of the angel and the statement of the angel and the several statements of Jesus Christ that seem to be in contradiction? Well, the only thing I can do, and obviously we have to wrestle with these questions and reconcile them in some way, and the only way I can make sense out of all of this is to say that what John was answering was what he understood the Jews to mean. And they took the prophecy of Malachi literally, and they understood that Malachi was prophesying that Elijah the Tishbite would be resurrected from the dead, and they were asking John, "Are you Elijah the Tishbite resurrected from the dead?" And John understood that that's what they were asking, that they were basing their question upon an exact literal understanding of Malachi's prophecy. And to that question, as he understood it, "Are you Elijah the Tishbite resurrected from the dead?" he accurately said no. He was not, because he wasn't. But he was, in fact, the Elijah prophesied by Malachi, but Malachi clearly, therefore, was not intending us to understand his prophecy as being Elijah the Tishbite, resurrected from the dead, but rather someone like Elijah coming in similar power. That's the way I understand it, and I believe that's the best way to understand it. Obviously, it is a tricky text, and there are various ways to look at it. But remember what was said back in Malachi 3:1. "Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me," and so forth. And there, the messenger is equated with the prophecy of Isaiah, which ties them both together. John said he was the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy of one coming to prepare the way. Malachi talks about one coming to prepare the way, and then he calls him an Elijah-like figure in chapter 4. Time has caught us short. We'll return tomorrow. Please join me then. Until then, good day. May God give you his eternal peace.